Okay, get started here because we do have a time limit, and Tim Kelly is very particular about being on time. So, welcome everyone. This is on effective prayer, and that being said, I think it's very appropriate that we start out with prayer. My name is Tim Kompel, and my wife Shannon is right there. She'll be helping me at times. Yes, thank you for closing the door. That'll help. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to come together. Thank you for this room that we have that we are able to meet in and study your word and look into effective prayer. And I pray that this time that we have together will be a learning time and beneficial to your people. And I just thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name. Okay, I'm going to have it be reading a lot of scripture. I'm going to be looking at effective prayer from the scripture, so you may not have time to write down every passage that I'm going to be reading. So that being said, we have a PDF available of this whole presentation, and we have our business card, or you can get that PDF off our website. And so keep that in mind. You're welcome to take notes. But here we go. Okay, Shannon handed out a paper, and what I want you to do with that is write down a prayer request that you have. Just one. I'll limit you to one prayer request. And you can put your name on it, but that's optional. These will be collected at the end, as was mentioned. So if you're taking notes on it, you're going to lose your notes. All right, why am I talking about prayer? Well, first off, it's because of my own lack and need for improvement. I saw myself that I wanted to learn how to be more effective with praying. And I didn't have much training or teaching on prayer. They have examples of people, you know, at the end of service they pray. And that's about the extent of it for the most part. And also lack of evidence of effective prayer in general. So what is prayer? Ask yourself that question. What would you say prayer is? Communication with Yahweh is what I would say would be the best answer. I have YHVH. You'll see that throughout my presentation, and that's hopefully you're all familiar with that, Yod Heh Vav Heh. So you can read there, Lord Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever your preference is. I'm not particular. Now we need to consider who Yahweh is and honor Him in the way we pray. So how do you communicate in prayer? Is it more like this first image here? Hello? Do you hear me? Or is it more like this image, where there's a circle going on? So, a quick definition of communication is exchanging of information. So, can we hear Him? Have we been taught to listen? I haven't been taught to listen. I've just been taught to pray, just to present my requests. So let's consider listening as vital for communication. That's one half of the communication. So who has the more important thing to say? You with your prayer requests, or the Creator of the universe who knows all things, all people, is outside of time? It's pretty obvious there. So instead of speaking our mind, we want to submit to Yahweh to lead us in what and how to pray, according to His will. We'll get into some scriptures later that express this. Now, with hearing him, he communicates in many ways. Could be still small voice. It could be through other people. There's lots of different ways, and that would be a breakout in itself. But we should examine all things and ask in prayer for clarity. What is the purpose of prayer? We talked about what prayer is, but what would be the purpose? How about discovering our Father's will and conforming oneself to it? Or find out what he is doing, then ask him to do it. Let's consider our circumstances in the framework of eternity. What is best for our character? When you have your prayer requests and you consider in the framework of eternity, maybe the trial you're going through is actually the best for your character at that moment. And just getting out of the trial would not be beneficial in eternity's sake. And prayer should change us. What are some excuses for our lack of prayer? Got a few here. Not enough time. Perhaps we have it too good, we have no needs. Or our prayers are ineffective, so why bother? Do we believe the scriptures? Here's some scriptures I'm going to read through that are a reason to pray, a basis to build our faith in prayer. Matthew 7:8. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Matthew 21. And whatever you ask in prayer, if you believe, you will receive. Mark 11:24. For this reason I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and Yahweh will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Some pretty good promises there. And that sounds like good reasons to pray. But if your experience is like mine, it doesn't always seem to work that way. And we're going to get into some ways to make our prayers more effective here. First thing I want to examine is some scriptures on repentance and forgiveness. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your sins. And Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So we're starting to see some stipulations here for those, whatever you ask, you shall receive. Continuing on, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, these two verses, they go together. So you want effective prayer. So it's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But how do you become a righteous man? Confess your sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. We're going to talk about sleepy time prayers or fervent and zealous. Now, by sleepy time prayers, I mean stumble into bed and realize, oh, I should pray today. or tonight, and you start praying and you start nodding off and then you fall asleep. I've done that. I'm sure many of us have. But I want to encourage you to think about who you're praying to and being more fervent and zealous in your prayers. Let's look at some verses. Ezra 8:23. So we fasted and prayed to our God about this, and he answered us. Jeremiah 29:13. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you if you seek me with all your heart and soul. Sounds like pretty fervent there. Luke 2:37. She had lived as a widow since then for 84 years. She never left the temple. Maybe we should just keep the door open. She never left the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer, night and day. Luke 6:12. Now it was during this time that Yeshua went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent all night in prayer to Yahweh. I don't know if I can stay up all night, let alone in prayer. Psalm 77:2. In my time of trouble, I sought Yahweh. I kept my hand raised in prayer throughout the night. I refused to be comforted. You want to just keep your hands up for the rest of this presentation? Anybody? James 5:17. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And there was no rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. 1 Peter 4:7. For the culmination of all things is near, so be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of prayer. Not sleepy, not out of it. Okay, next thing I want to look at is, first of all, do we ask? Maybe you're too humble, maybe you're too proud to ask. And then continue to ask and wait for an answer, or do we give up? I prayed for that once. Nothing happened. I suppose that was my answer. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone among you in good spirits? He should sing praises. 1 Kings 17:20-22. O Yahweh, my God, are you also bringing disaster on this widow I am staying with by killing her son? He stretched over the boy 3 times and called out to Yahweh. O Yahweh, my God, please let this boy's breath return to him. Yahweh answered Elijah's prayer. The boy's breath returned to him, and he lived. What if he stopped at 2? What if he stopped at 1? First Kings 18:42-43. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. So there is repetition here.
Yes.
We want to ask questions at the end. We're only going to have about 10 minutes. So if you want to write them down, that would be the best. If I go faster, we'll have more time. Jeremiah 42:7. 10 days later, Yahweh spoke to Jeremiah. That's an interesting story here, where the people asked Jeremiah for Yahweh's will, and he prayed for an answer, and it took 10 days before it came. Daniel 10:13, we're probably familiar with this, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. So 21-day delay here. There could be reasons for the delay in our answers to prayers. Luke 18:1, then Yeshua told them a parable to show them they should always pray and not lose heart. So continue to pray. Continue to ask. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, endure in suffering, persist in prayer. Okay, next I'm going to talk about prayer from others. Now, as I was looking at these different aspects of prayer, you know, confessing your sins to one another, go to the elders to receive prayer, I see a design by the Father to build community because we need each other in this. Job 42:8, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that all of you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. It was nice of Yahweh to tell them the solution, but he would hear Job but not their prayers. Genesis 27, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know that you shall surely die, you and all that are yours. Another example where Abraham's prayer, the prayer of another for the king, was heard. James 5:14, is anyone among you ill, he should summon the elders of the church, and they should pray for him, and anoint him with oil in the name of Yahweh. Okay, is Yahweh pleased with our prayers? Look at some verses here and just think about your own prayer life and if you fit in here or not. Proverbs 15:8, Yahweh abhors the sacrifices of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Proverbs 15:29, Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of Yahweh run back and forth throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. First John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, treat your wives with consideration as a weaker partners, and show them honor as fellow heirs of the grace of life. In this way, nothing will hinder your prayers. Are your prayers being hindered? This verse might help. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their prayer, but Yahweh's face is against those who do evil. Okay, that was mentioned before, pray according to Yahweh's will. This is important. 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. So what is his will, and can we know it? Now, instead of praying the easy prayer, whatever you will be, I've done it myself, you've probably heard others, spend time asking and seeking his will, which should include study of his word, and then pray it fervently. Here's an example of praying against his will. James 4:3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it upon your lust. Jeremiah 7:16, then Yahweh said, "As for you, Jeremiah, do not pray for these people. Do not cry out to me or petition me on their behalf. Do not plead with me to save them, because I will not listen to you." And Jeremiah 11:14 says, "So Jeremiah, do not pray for these people. Do not cry out to me or petition me on their behalf. Do not plead with me to save them, for I will not listen to them when they cry out to me for help when disaster strikes them." You will not listen to Jeremiah or the people. So if you're praying for the people and you've been told not to, you know that you're praying against his will, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to benefit. It's not going to be effective. Okay, here's some couple examples from Scripture of Peter and Paul seeking the Father's will. And I hope you can look at it and you can see what you can see it from that perspective here. Acts 9:40. "But Peter sent them all outside, knelt down and prayed." So, "Father, what's your will?" Turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, if you knew the will was she's going to die, or she's done for, you wouldn't say, "Tabitha, get up." But if you knew the will was she's going to be risen, you'd have the confidence to say, "Tabitha, get up." Another example, Acts 28:8. "The father of Publius lay sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him, and after praying," again, after he spent the time seeking the Father's will, "placed his hands on him and healed him." He had the confidence. Okay, so we want to go over a major key to knowing his will and effective prayer. And that, in one word, is abiding. The key verse here is John 15:7. "If you dwell in me and my sayings dwell in you, you will ask whatever you want and it will be done to you." I want to emphasize the highlighted part is the first part of this verse. And many times you just think about the second part, but I believe the more important part is the dwelling in him. Removed or grafted in? Our first reader, please.
"For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again."
Thank you, Amanda. That was Romans 11:15-13. There's a lot that can be said about this passage, but I want to point out the idea that we should remain humble, because just as we can be grafted in, we can also be removed. All right, Walter, we want to read John 15:1-17.
"I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and that shall be done to you, done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Thank you. Now again, there's a lot of context there, talking about the subject of abiding, but I want to bring out the idea that in order to bear fruit, we have to be abiding and be pruned. And pruning is not a painless process. So the Father's pruning tool, Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we must speak." Now, pruning is crucial to being refined and bearing fruit. And you can't do that without being exposed to the Word, without studying the Word for yourself. It's an important element. So we abide, we're pruned, we'll be bearing fruit. Now, what is the fruit for?
Service.
I want to mention that we shouldn't be focusing so much on the fruit because we can't produce it. Instead, focus on the vine Messiah and the pruning of Yahweh. The fruit is to draw others to Yeshua and Yahweh. How do we know that we are abiding in Him? That's a good question to ask. It's easy to say, oh, just abide in the vine. Let's look at some verses here. Romans 8:16, "The Spirit itself carries witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh," or abiding in Him. Matthew 7:16-20, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down, cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." And I submit, by your fruits you will know yourself. Okay, let's look at some similar concepts of Scripture talking about abiding in the vine. Now, Shannon and I are gardeners, so that connects with us. We understand those principles. But maybe something else here will connect with you better. Let's talk about living water, John 4:13-14. Yeshua answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." John 7:38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Let's look at the spirit and flesh. Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Romans 8:5. "For those who are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but those who are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Romans 8:9. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. Now if any man does not have the Spirit of Messiah, he is none of his." Romans 8:13. "For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Galatians 5:16-17. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you desire." Galatians 6:8. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And the world, Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be all of you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that all of you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh." So we have contrasting symbols here: the vine, the olive tree, the Spirit, living water, faith, and life. Or the world, wild olive tree, flesh, full of self, unbelief, and death. Maybe now as you read through and you see those pictures, you'll remember this. So quick review. For effective prayer, are we seeking repentance and forgiveness? Are we fervent and zealous? Do we ask, continue to ask, and wait for an answer? Are we humble enough to seek prayer from others and pray for others? Is Yahweh pleased with our prayers? Are we praying according to His will? And finally, are we abiding in the vine, which is Messiah? Okay, your assignment. I want you to put what you've learned into practice, the points that I've covered. Shannon, if you want to start collecting. Hopefully, does anybody need more time to write their prayer requests? Okay. There's a couple yet, so. What's that? So finish up those prayer requests, and I suggest a 1 week time period to what we're going to do is collect these.
So you want us to just pass them in the middle?
Yes, that would be good. Pass them.
They're not going to be read along by
then. No. Pass them to the middle. We'll collect these, and then we're going to pass them back out, and you pick one out of the box just to make sure it's not yours, and then pass it on. So you're going to get one prayer request from somebody in this room. And I'm suggesting 1 week. We probably to the end of the feast. If you're so busy at the feast like most of us are, well, when you get back, give it a week. And
can you go back one so that I can really
the points? Yes. One moment. Now, if you're seeking the Father's will and you get release, or you think you should pray longer, then do it. That's fine. But it's just 1 week is my request here. So apply what you've learned, and then seek Yahweh's will accordingly to pray accordingly. If you're looking for effectiveness in your prayers, be a life that abides in Messiah entirely at His disposal. I'll leave you with one last verse, Job 42:10. And Yahweh turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his companions, and Yahweh gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, the way I'm looking at that verse, it wasn't until Job prayed for his companions. It was a mutual thing going on, because his companions needed Job's prayer for Yahweh to forgive them. And once Job prayed for them, then Yahweh restored the riches to Job. So we'll go back here.
You want to go back there and have that up during the question time? And then we can finish with
that. Yeah, sure. We'll come back to this slide. I'm trying to organize the time remaining here. Okay. I'm going to talk about the tacky tack-on. Now, my initials are TAC, so kind of fits. Anyways, if you've heard people pray, many times they will add at the end of their prayer, in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, whatever the case may be. And why do they do that? Is that a way to signal the end of the prayer? Or is it because we know this verse and we've been taught generations to generations that whatever you ask in my name, you shall receive. So, you say your prayer and then you say, in Jesus' name, is that a stamp of approval there? You know, I got it. I want to suggest to you that there's nothing wrong with that, but I want it to be a trigger for you to think about abiding and dwelling in Him. John 15:1-17, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. If you dwell in me, and my sayings dwell in you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give you. So, in His name is equal to in His will, which is equal to abiding in Him. So let that be a reminder at the end of a prayer, and think about it. Don't let it just be a cliche that we say. My last slide here is just some book resources on prayer if you want to look into it more. I've read these three books this past year, and some amazing stories and testimonies that will hopefully encourage you in prayer. All right, I think we have time for Shannon to read something. What this is it's a vision by Michael Bodea Jr. If you're not familiar with him, he's from Hand of Help Ministries, and it's called The House That Stood, posted on June 2012.
I dreamt I was walking down a street, but to the left and to the right of me, everything was utterly destroyed. If it had not been for the foundation sticking out of the earth, one would not have known anything had once stood there. I have seen the aftermath of earthquakes while living in California in the 80s, and I've likewise seen the aftermath of tornadoes live and in person, and this looked like neither of the two. The best way I can describe it is that the entire street seemed to have been razed. From trees to homes to fences, everything had been flattened and annihilated. The street curved to the left, and as I followed it, turning the corner, I was surprised to see a house standing a couple hundred yards ahead of me on the right. There was nothing special about the house, a single-story home with a porch and a porch swing, once painted white by what I could gather, but having taken on a charred look. make it go down. We lost the mouse.
Where's the mouse?
There he is. I quickened my pace, as even in my dream this seemed odd and surreal. And as I approached the house, I heard what could only have been called prayer coming from inside. This was no typical prayer. It was passionate and fervent, and the only time I remember having heard prayer like this is when we would have prayer nights in our home in Romania during the communist occupation. This was anything but a restrained prayer gathering, and the voices coming from inside the house were praising God and giving glory to Him. I stood just short of the front step and listened to the prayers coming from within the house until, in my dream, I woke up. As I awoke from my dream within a dream, the man I have grown accustomed to seeing was standing at the foot of my mattress. "Do you understand what you've just seen?" he asked without prelude. "I believe I do," I answered somewhat confidently. The man gave me a look one might give to a slow-witted individual and said, "Perhaps in part," and then reached out and touched my shoulder. Suddenly, I was back on the same street, and I realized this only because of the house with the porch swing, now a pristine white. It was the only thing that was the same as in my previous dream, because now there were trees and homes up and down the block. It looked and sounded like a typical neighborhood, but above the din of chirping birds and barking dogs, I could hear prayer coming from inside the home with the porch swing. It was the same kind of fervent, passionate prayer I'd heard on the previous occasion. I strained to hear what they were praying for, but I could only hear snippets from time to time. As I made to climb the first three steps, I was back in my bed with the man standing patiently by my mattress. "Now do you understand?" he said. "Tell them not to fear, but to draw close to the Father in whom is shelter from the storm and protection from destruction." I then woke up, disoriented, wondering for a while if this was yet another dream within a dream. Realizing it was not, I knelt beside my mattress and started to pray. Our refuge, our shelter, our place of safety is not a geographical location. It is in the arms of Jesus, in the will of God, in fellowship and intimacy with Him. If we are walking in the will of the Father, then we have nothing to fear. If we are being obedient to His word, His guidance, and His leading, then wherever He will guide us will be a safe place, and wherever He will lead us will be a place of shelter. Our safety is found in obedience. If God has told you to go to a certain place, then do as He commanded. If, however, God has not spoken, then be at peace where you are, for God is able to protect you in the midst of the storm. It is time to draw closer to God than ever before, to come before Him in prayer and fasting, in righteousness and purity of heart. The day draws near when we will behold the miracle working power of God firsthand, when we will see what our God can do and the glory of His omnipotence. Psalm 18:25-30. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure, and with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down with haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is proven, and He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. With love in Christ, Michael Bodea, Jr.
Thank you, Shannon.
Excuse me, is that online somewhere?
Yes, it is.
Can you repeat the question so we know
who she's asking? She asked if that was online, what was just read. It is on the Hand of Help website. If you want more help locating it, pick up our card. Our website is compospot.com. And email us, and we'll send you directly to where you need to go. Okay. One thing I want to point out about what was just read here is... Is everybody's paper in? Okay, go ahead and pass them back out. One thing I want to point out in what was read here, at least what stood out to me, was the idea that this house that stood, the passionate, fervent prayer was there all along. It wasn't something that just happened out of disaster. It was in the good times and the bad times. So I hope this will encourage you to examine your prayer life and make it more effective. Thank you. We have some time here for some questions. I will go back to the slide with the main points.